You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you're with Rick Munn for your sins. Maybe if you're Roman Catholic, you've died and went to purgatory and you thought there was going to be fire and brimstone and people rattling big chains like Jacob Marley. But instead, you've got a set of headphones welded to your head, covering your ears completely. And all you can hear from now to doomsday is me. Hey, that's it. Some people's idea of hell. Maybe some crazy people out there might actually enjoy that, but who knows? It's locked and loaded. It's Friday. Oh, what date is it? I have to check my little black book. Friday the 23rd of September, yes. And we had quite an opening salvo from Natalie Cheel this morning, based out of Reading. Natalie is a bit of a legend, in my opinion. She talks straight, shoots from the hip. And of course, she's banned on Twitter, as most of my guests are. If not immediately, it's on the way. Toby is still on Twitter, my next guest, but for how long? That's the question. I would say his days are numbered just simply by the fact that he's associated with the like of me. Yes, the like of me. Toby Brown, I'm talking about from Truth Talk. He's waiting in the wings, and Trevor John will round off the show today. It's an English 1-2-3, Reading. I don't know where Toby is, and he's probably going to tell me, or maybe he won't. And Trevor John flits between Tooting in London and Kent for reasons that I cannot disclose live on the radio. But before Toby takes the stand, let's look at what's going on in the world. We need a 5-hour show, maybe a 10-hour show today. We can't really do it, but just to cover what's happened since last night, we need more time. Fracking. Sounds like something perverted people do on the moors, but no, it's not. It's a process of unlocking energy. Fracking, that is. Fracking. And all of a sudden, they want it. They want it. They've been talking about banning it. They've been talking about how it could cause earthquakes and bring down buildings, but now people want it. Why? Because the lights will go out without it, possibly. Fracking in the UK, I think the Sex Pistols did a song, something similar, only it was called Anarchy in the UK, but maybe somebody could reboot that one. Fracking in the UK could unlock £4 trillion of gas, lower our energy bills, create jobs, and of course, enrage Putin. Of course, that's simply a byproduct of sorting ourselves out, is to enrage Putin. Matt Ridley nails the nonsense from the anti-frackers. It will give us jobs, growth, cheaper domestic gas, save on CO2, $1 trillion in leveling up by drilling down. What a naff management speak statement that is. But the bottom line is it needs to be done. PayPal are going nuclear on various accounts. We've covered this in the last hour. Us for Them in particular have been blasted. An advocacy group for children in schools, of course, deviant behavior in their part, for daring to speak out against the mainstream media narrative. So they're being punished by having their money frozen and their accounts suspended. What do you expect? Rochelle Walensky, that crazy woman from the CDC in America, is being photographed. Today, I received my updated COVID-19 vaccine. Translated, I received my fifth saline shot, because there's no way in hell she's allowing that poison anywhere near her body. But laboratory data from what the 8 mice that Pfizer experimented on before this new jab was rolled out suggests that these updated vaccines provide increased protection against currently circulating variants. What happened? Are the mice still alive? Are the 8 mice still alive? Or are there 3 blind mice? We don't know. And even if they were blind, they wouldn't tell us that. They'll tell us it's safe and effective, and you have to be a good boy and girl and go and get your shot. Otherwise, you'll kill Granny again this winter. I'm still waiting for Granny to die. It's been 3 years now, and, you know, I've tried everything. Tried not washing my hands. Tried breathing and coughing on her. Tried everything, but she's still alive. Granny's tough. Granny's tough, and Granny hasn't got her jab. There you go. little bit of insider information there. Oh, I'm literally scrolling through a sea of depression here. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just going to let you know, we have a website, tntradio.live. Very nice website it is too. And if you are planning something legal that is, and you want us to promote it, send the details through to our What's On section. There's a contact form there on tntradio.live. We will promote your event no matter where it is. Or if you're sitting at home this weekend scratching your head wondering what to be up to, you're bored and you've maybe got no boyfriend or girlfriend, and you know, you're a little bit lonely and you want to get out there and see some of the world and connect with like-minded people, check out our website, What's On section. There'll be a, if there's an event happening in your area and it's being promoted, you'll be able to see it and hook up with the people there, because we're all about connection. We're all about bringing like-minded individuals together here on TNT Radio.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I am very, 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 very happy to be joined this morning by Mr. Toby Brown from Truth Talk UK. He's a patient man. Have to give him props. He's a patient man. Last week we had a few technical issues, and he's decided he's going to come back for more punishment today. we're live today. We're live on air. And I'm looking forward to talking to him, because imagine what we would have missed out on had we had the conversation last week versus this week. Oh, so much has been going on. Toby is the godfather of Truth Talk UK. That's an independent media outlet that you can connect with on Twitter at Truth Talk UK, and they have a very slick logo. I like, I'm looking at it right now, that they've got the black and white and sort of grey thing going on, as do TNT, by the way. A little bit of synergy there. And he also has a website, truthtalk.uk. Toby, how are you?
Yeah, not so bad, mate. Actually, it's ever stranger every time we talk, isn't it? And I think that's mm-hmm. the way we said it was going to be. The year was just going to get weirder. But me myself, I'm not too bad, actually. Just getting on with getting on.
Mm-hmm. What else can you do, mate? What else can you do?
Indeed.
I don't know how invested you are in spending time on the internet, but it can be, in many ways, not just the constant stream of bad news coming, but the people you encounter, I worry for some of them. I genuinely do. I tend not to get involved in spats. And even if someone criticizes me or slags me off, I just don't even respond to anybody at all. It's just a drain of energy and time. But there's some right weird ones out there. Do you ever get weird, like genuine weird people contacting you and like messaging you and stuff, or is it just me?
Oh, yeah, no, it happens. It's happened for a while. And back through sort of previous iterations of stuff I've done as well, it's always been a way. It's one of the things, if you stick your head above the parapet, you know, be prepared to have mud slung at you. And I think if you're in the sort of game that we are, you have to develop a sort of a rhino skin to it. You have to just be impervious and just be like, right, do your thing. But there are some, I don't want to use the word unhinged, because I'm a big advocate of mental health, and I don't want to sort of, you know, sort of belittle that in any way. But there are some people who online, especially, who seem truly unhinged, just
exactly
disagreeing with you.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I actually don't get into the argy bargy, because I'm looking at what some people say and I'm thinking, with all respect, and again, I'm the same as you. I'm a big proponent of mental health advocacy and you know, taking care of your mind and helping people. But some people, you just read what they say and you went, that person is definitely not to be engaged with, certainly not to be argued with. It's futile. They need help. They don't need me to engage in a back and forth mudslinging battle with them. But it seems to be there's just so many at the minute. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe, you know, in the past, I attract people that are a little bit, because I'm a little bit unhinged myself, I'm being honest with you. I've got my, you know, my faults and foibles too, but I kind of have a magnet to people that are a little bit unhinged, which is cool, because I prefer actually people that have some issues rather than the Peter Perfects and the Penelope Pit Stops of this world. But hell spells, man, the proliferation out there is crazy at the minute. It's like a zombie movie.
Well, my mum always used to said she had twat stop written on her head because all the twats would stop and talk to her. And so I've sort of applied that I'm the same, you know, I'm a twat magnet and it happens. But a line of experience I was once told is don't argue with idiots because they'll drag you down to their level and then they'll beat you with experience every time.
Yes,
and it's true, like, man. It's true. So it's just like, true. You just carry along in your little world. That's fine. I'll stay in my lane. You have a nice journey. See you later.
I had someone arguing with me. This is just off topic. I'm just getting this off my chest. I had someone try to start an argument with me this week about when autumn began, right? So I made a video one night and I said, I'm enjoying the autumn air. This was like a few weeks ago. And it's like, you're wrong. It's not autumn. It won't be autumn until the 22nd of September. So, you know, you might want to make a statement and retract. What you're telling me when autumn begins? It starts when I say it starts. If I feel it's autumn, it's autumn. I don't go by a calendar. I don't go by what dates other people set. But here we have someone who was genuinely wanted me to issue a statement and retract what I'd said and put the record straight that autumn started on the 22nd of September. Now, if I engaged with that, that would make me a fool. That would make me a fool. Just let them talk. Let them talk. Let them talk. Hear the talking.
But they found out that the best way to get any answer on Reddit is not to say, hey, does anyone know the answer to this? It's to absolutely, with confidence, post the wrong answer because someone will be along straight away to correct you and give you the right one. It's a crazy psychology. Ask for help, get nothing. Be wrong, I'm going to prove you wrong, mate.
You know, it's true. It's, and they say, by the way, this is a tip out there. If you're being attacked, if you're a female and you're being attacked at night, never scream rape. Never scream fire. Because apparently if someone hears you're being raped, they'll pass on by. If they think there's a fire, they might run to help you. And that's no joke, by the way. I'm not being funny when I say that.
It's more that they might think it's their own house on fire, so they might be more disposed to do something because it's personalised to them then, and it's not externalised to the poor girl getting
raped. It's crazy.
It's mental.
It is, isn't it? But you know what? That's the world in which we live, this clown world in which we live. And, you know, it's descending further into madness, in my opinion. There's a lot I could talk to you about here today. There's an ongoing budget happening, or it happened this morning at 9:30. I don't know if you followed any of that. The developments with Kwasi Kwarteng, I think his name is, who is the new Chancellor, seems to be a clued-in individual. If you've heard him talk, he's super confident. He seems to know his onions. But then again, as I said to Natalie, maybe he's faking it until he makes it, like I'm doing right now. Maybe a lot of people out there are just giving the impression they know what they're talking about and they've got confidence. But in reality, they're winging it. Is Kwasi winging it, or do you think he knows his onions?
I mean, he's obviously a smart bloke to have got where he is in life, whether that's by sort of Machiavellian ways or by skill, who's to know or tell at this time. But I mean, as some of the things that I've not followed it religiously this morning, but some of the things they were talking about him doing and that he's been proposing, for me, scream danger. I mean, the whole thing about him advancing the freeports, I don't know if you've looked into this at all. You know, Boris Johnson sort of initiated freeports within the UK. Well, what that's done, and there's some really good info on Twitter I can send you as a follow-up, is that within the area of Freeport, it's created like a 25-kilometer extended economic zone around that in which they can bypass a lot of rules and regulations, basically. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like tax haven areas. Business can get more involved in local governance. That it rolls back planning blocks. It rolls back all sorts of other stuff. So within these sort of areas, there's one in Liverpool, one here. There's a few other dotted around. They're basically handing over control of the local everything to business, and it's gone without a whimper. There's nothing being said about this at all. And it's, like, again, a massive transfer of power because businesses are now able to set that there's a lot looser regulation. They're framing it under the deregulation. We need to do this, as they always do. But they're basically giving businesses the opportunity to go carte blanche in these areas and just pretty much take over and devolve government even further. So, yeah, I don't like him on that sense alone because I'm in one of them zones. You said earlier, where am I? I'm down on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, are you? I knew you were working on the Isle of Wight, that festival you're on. I didn't realize you were an actual...
down here too.
All right, yeah, fair play to you. seems like a nice place to be, generally speaking. But you're in the target zone for these zones, which is maybe a little bit concerning. And I mean, since you last came on, in fact, do you know what we're going to do? Because there's so much has happened even since the last time you came on. We'll take a quick break and then we'll rewind time back a few weeks and look at what has been blitzed upon us in the last few weeks and what the fallout is now, because there's just been so much going on. So hold fire on the Isle of Wight. I'll hold fire here in Ireland. And we're both sitting on little islands at the moment. And when we reconvene after these short ads, we will do a blitzkrieg recap of what's been going on. And you can give me your thoughts on some of the fallout, some of the characters that are beginning to emerge now on the stage, because we're having a big reshuffle of the cabinet deck. And there's some new faces. There's a new face in Buckingham Palace on the throne. There's a new face in Downing Street. There's new faces everywhere. Kwasi Kwarteng. It was Rishi Sunak for a long time, from Rishi to Kwasi, and so on and so forth. We'll talk about that when we come back here after these ads on TNT Radio.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
In 2020, I was invited, we'll say, onto a radio show, but the presenter said, this was now when I was warning about, well, and saying there was prevention and treatment and ivermectin, but this was like May, June of 2020. The presenter said, I know what you're doing is right, but 90% of our funding now comes from the government under this COVID-19 issue. And therefore, he said, I am going to not allow you to speak and I'm going to essentially harass you so that you can't get your message out. Because if I don't do that, all the funding will be cut to the radio station and I'll be fired. So I actually said to him before the interview, I said, you know, this is time for you to make a decision and to allow people to speak so that people don't die and not put, get another job, basically. I think what was interesting is that information was that 90% of the income came from the government only on condition that the radio stations censor people and don't allow people to hear the information that there was prevention and treatment.
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The climate change lunatics in government and at the WEF will make meat, cheese, milk, and chocolate heavily taxed luxury items to save the planet. Just like private jets, the rich will indulge in whatever they want, while the poor are left with nothing. Remind me how the French Revolution ended again, when the poor had nothing.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Okay, since you were last on, okay, the Queen has finally died. You know, the Smiths predicted it way back in the 80s. The Queen is dead. Maybe that's when she did die. Some people think she's been dead for a long time, but she's dead. She's buried. The aftermath has been and gone. King Charles III, to give him his proper title, is now on the throne. Boris Johnson is out. Liz Truss is in. Cabinet reshuffles and so on and so forth. And all of this in the space of what, two weeks-ish? What have your first impressions been, or have you had time to formulate first impressions? Not so much of Charles, but he doesn't bother me that much. More so Liz Truss and her merry band of globalists that are now wreaking havoc on the UK.
As he said on WhatsApp last week, it's been a strange week. We've had a new monarch, new prime minister, and a new Chelsea manager, and I think I was more shocked about the third. So I'm still working out Graham Potter at the minute, but I like what I see so far. On the other two, I've never really been a fan of Charles, to be honest. And I'm, we did an article, Indy wrote a really good article on Truth Talk about Charles. The World Economic Forum's would be king. And he has been very much on the climate agenda. He's very much on message with a lot of the things that they say and promote. So bit of a stooge as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's going to be good for us. I think potentially he could be the last monarch as well. And there's a lot of anti-monarchy sentiment now sort of popping up around. And and so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Liz Truss, I mean, she's doing what she said she'd do. The budget's just coming out there. There's a few, I've just messaged you, but they're abolishing the 45% tax rate for those 150K plus. They're while saying they're reducing benefits and other stuff. So it's a typical Tory budget. They're stealing from the rich and stealing from the poor and giving to the rich. So not overly keen on her or Kwarteng based on the last few days already. And yeah, so jury's out on Potter. The other two can burn in hell straight away as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and you see Liz Truss, I mean, I'm no fan, but, you know, to give her some props, she doesn't give a damn. She's came out and she said, I don't care if I'm popular. Am I prepared to pull the plug and launch a nuclear strike? Yeah. Am I going to take away money and scrap bankers' bonus caps? Yeah. Am I going to get rid of the 45%? Yeah. I'm going to do it. And I don't care if you like it or not. I'm going to do it. And love her or hate her, and I'm not a fan of hers, all right? At least she's not namby-pamming around trying to be something she's not. She said, this is the way I'm doing it. I don't care if you like it or not. Suck it, all right? So obviously we're going to have to suck it, because what else are we going to do with some of these things unless there's a revolution happening? But yeah, the 45% tax rate abolition for those over 150K, big tick for those that are on big money. The stamp duty allegedly will be cut for purchasing houses. We're going into a time, I believe, where a lot of people are going to lose their houses. So house purchase will not be high on the list of priorities, but it sounds good. We're helping first-time buyers. First-time buyers, if you're listening, take it or leave it. This advice, don't buy right now. Hold your water for maybe 12 months. Rent if you have to at a higher rate. Don't commit to a humongous mortgage at this point in time with the ass potentially about to fall out of the housing market. That's my humble opinion. Take it or leave it. Some people agree with that. Some people disagree with it. I'm telling you, it's going to be an almighty crash, man. Fingers will be burnt.
All signs are pointing to it. I mean, there's one of the things indicative of the 50-year mortgages being advertised at the moment. There's no one left that can pick up the slack or avoid, afford the ratio income to mortgage right now. So, yeah, I think the whole thing, and a lot of economists I follow are saying the same thing. The whole thing is about to fall on its ass, and it's going to be a domino effect. It's going to, as we know, cause a lot more because that's been the bubble that's been keeping the UK inflated, really.
Mm-hmm. It has. And you know, you maybe have your memory will stretch back to 2008 when the last crash came, the last crash of note came. Things have not improved from then. They were printing money hand over fist back then. How they've actually managed to stretch it out for an extra 14 years is pretty, again, respect is due, how they've managed to continue to engineer these calamities that have resulted in, you know, quantitative easing and massive amounts of money being printed, pumped into our economy that's pushing the prices up for everything. But Kwasi, in his opening statement to that budget, is very adamant that the blame for all of this lies squarely at the feet of Vladimir Putin, and specifically his incursion into Ukraine in February of this year. So basically, everything was tickety-boo until February. Then Putin did his business, and now we're all paying for it. Biden labels the gas increases Putin tax. He's telling us that his inflation-busting act is doing the job. He's celebrating the fact that inflation's not going up exponentially. It's staying at an artificially high rate. And people, I'm sorry to say this, Toby, but people in general have no clue about economics, basic economics. And I'm no expert, but I know a little bit. And I know enough to know that we're being absolutely shafted in every way, shape, and form by our government. But some people are listening and going, I don't see your problem, Rick. They're not increasing these energy bills to $4,000 a year. No, they're you're going to pay twice what you did last year, and they're telling you that's what they're doing to help you. Helping someone isn't doubling their prices, all right? Helping someone is not doubling their prices, and help is on the way, but it's not here yet when people need the money now. But people suck it up, my friend, because there's a basic ignorance when it comes to economics and politics, and people just, they just nod and take whatever they're fed.
Yeah, they do. And they've done with the energy prices just what they've done with fuel years ago. I remember when it bust through £1 a litre and there were truck blockades on motorways, people were shutting everything down, and they were forced to back down on it, basically. And then this year, it's been exactly the same. Oh, your bills are going to go up and up and up and up and up. And they push them up to a point when everyone is sort of in fury about it. And then they drop it back down to a certain point where they go, well, it's okay. Well, it'll only be this. You've only doubled it instead of quadrupled it. So we're putting the fear in. People have accepted still getting shafted. And that's kind of what they've done with that. They've shifted the goalposts for everyone. They're quite good at it.
Do you not find, we've got to take a quick break, literally just a 30-second news break. And when we come back, why are people taking this? Why are people taking this? We've got to ask ourselves why, because, when you say the fuel busted through the pound, people were on the streets, all hell broke loose, poll tax people, all hell broke loose, got stopped, got reversed. Why is it not happening now? Let's look at maybe why. Why are people sucking it up and taking it when they should be resisting? Why? We'll go into the mechanics of that maybe when we come back after this short news break here on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. North Korea has denied US intelligence reports that it was preparing to sell millions of artillery shells and rockets to Russia, and accused Washington of spreading reckless rumors. Russian and Western diplomats have clashed over alleged war crimes in Ukraine during a heated meeting of the United Nations Security Council. And parts of Australia's east coast are again underwater following yet another round of heavy rainfall.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The question of why always crops up in relation to a lot of issues at the minute. And one of the reasons is, well, why are people accepting this? Why are people accepting this? Are people at this point, and maybe we are too, you and I to a degree, we've become desensitized to being screwed over. And what I mean is, it's been incessant for 2.5 years, longer than that, but specifically for the last 2.5 years, it's almost to be expected that prices will go there. It's a given. They're going up. They're not coming down. Things aren't going back to normal. We've got to live with this. We've got to live with that. You've got to do without. You've got to not worry about traveling so much. You've got to forget about your holidays. This is being seeded into people's heads over the last 2 years. And I think it's bedded in now to the point where people are actually, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. And there's no point in complaining about it, because complaining will do nothing. And we might as well just deal with it and bear it and muddle through as best we can, stiff upper lip and all that. Is that maybe the mentality that the majority of people have now? They're just broken. They're just beaten down, and they'll just nod and accept whatever is given to them. They're desensitized to the abuse.
Yeah, 100%. I think one of the biggest infections that people have got from this whole last few years has been apathy. They're just lack of care. They're just rolling over and accepting. Yeah, like you say, that's it. That's okay. I mean, I was just looking back based on, when we were talking about the fuel prices going through £1 a litre and when that was. And that was back in 2000.
That's 22 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's some time ago. I mean, and then looking back at the way the press has emerged and been managed since then, I mean, we did have a lot more of a diverse, albeit quite, monopolised by certain business interests. We had a lot more diverse press back in the year 2000. The written press was probably on par with the internet around then. I mean, it was really up and coming sort of thing. And so I think in that sense, a lot more people were stirred by, that this is unacceptable. They're seeing it in the headlines. They're doing all this. And we know that even today, the national press, the mainstream media still have a massive impact on what the general perception of people is.
Yeah.
So moving forward to where we are now, and I always hark back to the fact that when COVID first broke out, all of the press was close to collapse, because they get all of their money from advertisers. Now, all of the advertisers pulled all the advertising, so because their businesses had to close down, so there was no point, there's no DFS sales because you can't get a DFS and all of this sort of thing. And in one fell swoop, the government took up all of that advertising slack, the COVID advertising, and effectively took over the media. Which is why now And they had 2.5 years, even now 3 years, of really greasing their wheels and close cooperation and stuff. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing the effects of that, because what the government is coming out and doing, barring little ripples of murmur in certain corners to sort of show that they're not all under the under manners, mm-hmm. they're nearly all on message with everything nowadays. And Pete, it's funny, people have been making comparisons to North Korea over the Queen's funeral and the flag waving and flag shagging, as they mm-hmm. call it, or whatever else.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see that, you know, we've almost got a Pravda-like press at the minute, and we're sat there going, mm-hmm. Putin bad and all this. Yeah, and you know, he's no angel, and Russia's not exactly the most amazing place in the world. I've worked there. But we don't point at them over there and accuse them of what we're doing, because we are mm-hmm. masters at it. There's a reason our empire lasted for hundreds and hundreds of years and has mm-hmm. never been overthrown, because they're so bloody good at what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about the blitzkrieg, the propaganda blitzkrieg that was hit by us on the media. Mm. There was literally, if you were out and about, there was no way to escape it, because it was on every bus shelter. It was live read on every bus. There were posters inside buses and trains. It was on the radio stations. The odd time I would stick on, you know, local radio just to pass the time in the car. An ad would come up for COVID, get your booster, get your jab. There would be public health announcements. You go to a doctor's and there's posters everywhere. You pick up a newspaper, there's adverts there. You switch on the TV and any of the main channels, a soap opera, they'll have a theme running through it that you're stupid and selfish if you don't get this done. There was literally, it was very, very difficult to escape it. And at one point, I remember there was one day that every front and back cover of every newspaper had an advertisement there to go and get your job. It was completely bizarre. I mean, literally, there was no escaping from it. And when you're subjected to that for a period of time, it does get into people's heads. And I'm still seeing the scarred walking around with their masks on still to this day outdoors. I mean, there's not as many. There's a dentist's practice, about 200 meters away from me. They still don't let people inside while they're queuing. They make them stand in the rain in masks to queue to get into the dentist. And they're just agreeing with it. It's like they're stuck in a time warp. But some people just, they're gone.
I'd recommend reading a book. It's Darren Brown, Tricks of the Mind. A really, really good book. And obviously he does a lot with, they call it hypnosis, but a lot of it's suggestibility. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They'll bring a guest a certain way and drive him past a pre-arranged road sign that they'll know he'll mm-hmm. see, that'll have a message on it, which will be something mm-hmm. that he'll write later. And all this. And if they can do that with one or two, you know, and driving someone who knows they're about to try and be hypnotized to a place and do that to them. Well, that it reminds me of the scene in They Live, you know, where he puts the glasses on and every sign assume, obey, consume, you know, spend, all of this. It was like that. It was everywhere. And I literally felt like I was living in that 1980s B movie. Mm-hmm. I was expecting Rowdy Roddy Piper to come around the corner at any time. It was ridiculous.
And we did see a little a taste of it condensed in the last week, since the death of the Queen. Everything was about the Queen and, you know, mourning. And Monday just passed, there was declared as a bank holiday. Businesses closed. Even if they didn't want to close, they felt pressure to close because they were being disrespectful, or literally they couldn't afford to stay open because they wouldn't have had the footfall to pay for the staff and the electricity to keep the shutters open. So it was a day pretty much of enforced mourning. And there's a great guy called Michael Chaves, Mad Mix Conspiracies. He has a Telegram channel and he does these massively brilliant monologue rants. I've had him on the show quite a few times and he's always very, reserved in his language on live radio, which is good, but he can really rant like a good one. And he made the point he did about this, and he said, you know, it was ridiculous. And he went into it, and at one point, I don't know if you know this or not, I saw this on social media and thought it was Photoshopped. But if you have Sky TV, you know, they have all these adult channels, you know, you can interact with girls and all this and watch erotic movies. You couldn't even watch porn. It was the Queen's funeral on Babe Station and Euroclips or Eurobabe. Honestly,
that might have been Sky, porn for some people.
You never know who's going to get off. You know, the Jimmy Savile's of this world might have got off seeing an old woman lying dead in a box. But you know, maybe he actually, I don't know if he's dead, that is. If he's not dead, I'm sure he paid a visit to the mortuary before she was interred.
I can't believe we went there.
I can't believe he went there either, and he did.
Sorry, mate.
But anyway, and listen, I'm not joking. I thought it was a Photoshop, but it wasn't. Sky subscribers were complaining that on their day off that they wanted to do their business, they got wall-to-wall coverage of the Queen's funeral. And if that is North Korea-esque, I mean, like, come on, isn't it? Where you can't even go on there, and after you've paid a subscription and you still get to see the coffin, you know, it's a little bit creepy, is it not?
It is, yeah. I'm more a little bit worried about the people who still think that they should get their porn off of Sky. I mean, what century are they living in? But yeah, it was wall-to-wall Queen. And I avoided it. I really wasn't overly that interested. I got on with doing other stuff, and I went out and had some food. I think it was about 8 o'clock on the Monday night, just around to my local. And even then, it was still on all TVs on repeat. It was all solemn, and it's like, oh my God, you know.
I know.
It was very North Korea-esque and very reminiscent of when they crown presidents in the US as well. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that, all the flags, all the pomp, all the ceremony. It very much stirred the patriotism, but I don't even know if there's that much of that left in this country now. I think that's an older generational thing. No,
I don't think you'd ever seen a point before in history, especially not with the death of the Queen. And I'm not knocking the Queen, by the way. I've said this before. I don't care. I'm not going to pretend I'm sad that she's dead, and I'm not going to pretend, you know, I celebrate her life. She was just an old woman living in a palace, doing her thing. Let her get on with it. She's dead. Bury her. Let's move on with life. But a lot of people were commenting that on Monday, briefly, and I felt a little bit of this myself, I got a little bit of a flashback to March of 2020 when everything was closed, enforced lockdowns, you couldn't go out and do the things that you wanted to do because it was not acceptable, or you were somehow being disrespectful, or you weren't following the crowd. I didn't like that, and as I had to search my own town. There was one shop, and love them or hate them, Cafe Nero. Fair play to them, salute to them. They were the only place in my town that were open on Monday that I could go and get a coffee in. And even then, they still kicked everybody out at 10:45 for the funeral and then allowed them back in again at 2 p.m. after the funeral, but they were open either side of it. The only place in my entire town that was open was Cafe Nero. Love them or hate them. So that's a sad statement that they're carrying the flag for rebellion is Nero, isn't it? What next? Pret a Manger going to lead the rebellion and overthrow the Tories? What next?
You need to get your passport sorted, mate, and come over here, because my local down the road, it's always been a bit of a spit and sawdust locals pub. Everyone loves it. They saw it as an opportunity to open at 10 a.m. And let's everyone down here and let's all watch the funeral together. And yeah. I think most people just took the opportunity for an early pint, to be honest with you.
Of course they did. And why not? Why not? You know, if you want to do that, you should be allowed to do that with this enforced mourning.
Right.
When Kim Jong-il or whatever his name is, he came out recently in Korea, and they had a conference where he was talking. He declared that COVID was beaten, that he had beaten it. And they had row upon row of soldiers and medical professionals in immaculate uniforms crying and wailing and holding their hands up like this as if he was some kind of savior. It's like, mourn, peasant, mourn. If you don't mourn hard enough, we're gonna lop your head clean off your shoulders and stick it on a spike in the Tower of London. People almost felt obliged that the people were watching them, that they weren't mourning hard enough. You know, you'll be dealt with if you don't shed enough tears or virtue signal hard enough on the... The worst thing about all that was the sycophancy, the outpouring of full grief and talking to the Queen as if she was still alive and she was reading their tweets. Your Majesty, you were wonderful. You were superb. We loved you. She's dead. She's dead. Stop talking as if she's alive. And she doesn't use Twitter, and she doesn't read your tweets, and she doesn't give a damn about you as a human being. Stop simpering and remove your nose from her I don't want to say it. You know what I'm getting at here? Don't make me sick. The amount of vomit-inducing crap I seen on social media was horrific, man. It disappointed me.
The amount of stuff we've obviously, again, through social media, the same thing, especially down here, small town, small island, all of this. We've had everything from, you know, as a mark of respect, this, and the best one was our local bin collections. As a mark of respect, we won't be collecting any rubbish on Monday, the third time, for the Queen's funeral. And it's like, well, that's great. It's not just after the weekend. You just leave crap all over the place because respect. Yeah, okay, whatever else. I mean, there were so many of them, but that one really took the biscuit for me. Yeah, we're not going to clean the streets because Queen died.
We had the reverse of that. Right? We had a strike for the bin collectors, and they called off the strike as a mark of respect. So as a mark of respect, they did collect the rubbish. And in your place, as a mark of respect, they didn't collect the rubbish. This could be like the picture. They did nothing. Oh, my Lord. Listen, we've got to take another quick break. It's good to laugh. You know what? It's my therapy, my medicine at the minute. You have to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you cry. So when we come back, I want to actually give a shout out to our old chum, Indy, Seek for Truth. He has been spotted, I tell you, on mainstream media this week with none other than Mike Graham. And yes, I believe he did well. He held the spot, but I have a feeling Mike has no idea about who Indy actually is. If he did, he sure as hell wouldn't have had him on a show, unlike TNT Radio. But we'll touch on that when we come back, because you guys work together, and I want to give Indy a shout out as well. So don't go away. This is Locked and Loaded with Toby and Rick Munn, and we'll be back after the ads on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I can't tell you how much better I'll sleep tonight after learning some new information about the state of the U.S. Air Force. Fox News Digital reporting a diversity and inclusion training program at the Air Force Academy in Colorado instructs cadets to use words that include all genders and refrain from saying things like mom and dad. The slide presentation titled Diversity and Inclusion, What It Is, Why We Care, and What We Can Do advises cadets to use person-centered and gender-neutral language when describing individuals. Some family members are headed by single parents, it says. Grandparents, foster parents, two moms, two dads, etc. Consider parent or caregiver instead of mom and dad. The presentation says use words that include all genders, folks or y'all instead of guys, partner instead of boyfriend or girlfriend. The story says at the beginning of the training, cadets are assured that what's said here stays in the room. Thankfully, at least one cadet was so disturbed by this woke crap that, well, he spilled the beans. Now let's end it all. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Claims that renewables are cheap or will lower prices are proven false. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay. Indy, a.k.a. Seek for Truth. You'll find him at Seek, S-I-K-H, for Truth on Twitter, and also via at Truth Talk UK, truthtalk.uk website that Toby and Seek run pretty much together. Yeah, I was pretty happy. A little bit shocked, I'm not going to lie. And also very, very happy that Seek got a slot on talk radio, Mike Graham show. Mike Graham, boy, that guy has changed a little bit over the last couple of years. It's almost like someone knows something about him and they've had a little visit and knocked on his door and said, hey, Mike, you better change your pitch. Otherwise, we're going to make something public. Maybe I'm alleging this. I'm hypothesizing. I don't know anything, but he changed his tune. Now he's very adamantly anti-conspiracy theorist, very dismissive of those that talk about the World Economic Forum. And there he has our buddy Seek on, obviously talking about the situation in Leicester at the minute. I have a feeling Mike's researchers didn't do much work on Seek. Otherwise, Mike would have had a fit if he knew what Seek was publishing about the Great Reset. What do you think? Did he slip through the net there? Did he slip through? Or is Seek controlled opposition like me?
Possibly. I mean, I think they may be purposely introduced him wrong, so they didn't work out his form, or like you say, just crap researchers, which is wholly possible in that show, to be fair. But, you know, I'm not, no surprise at all for me that he's going on to do what he's doing, because he writes with authority. You know, I remember when started writing for us, he's always very bang on with his facts. And he's got a very cool, calm demeanor about him. There's, you know, I can be over emotional at times. I can rush to get stuff out, but he carries himself really well. And it's one of the things that I got into sort of TV and radio work many years ago on another sort of another life, was just by being authoritative and writing about stuff and writing in language people could understand, that was intelligent, that wasn't bound with too much emotion. And I think he's going to go on, mate, to be honest with you. I think he's very spot on what he does. I think he's very good at what he does. And only emphasized by his appearances on here as well and more. So, yeah, no, all credit to the fella.
Yeah, yeah, I have a lot of time for Indy, and a more humbler guy you could not possibly hope to meet. I always take the piss out of him, because every time I contact him to come on the show, he's like, oh, there's nothing really to talk about. There's really nothing going on. I'm like, are you crazy, man? What planet are you from, or what planet are you living on? Come on, give me a break. It's nonstop, but he's just so humble, and he delivers himself very measuredly, and he's a very intelligent guy as well. So he's all the things that I'm not. He's reserved, he's intelligent, he's articulate. I'm just a barnstormer, and maybe that's why he and I work well together on here, you know, yin and yang and all that business. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, he does the bulk of, well, I mean, he's the editor of the site. I'm really only the publisher of it, to be honest with you. And I run the Twitter and do other stuff, because most of my bits are offline, sort of down here. But yeah, he's taken us up to the next level. And we're going to be doing a bit of a redevelop and a redesign, hopefully over the next month or two, where we're going to sort of change Truth Talk a bit and bring it, make it a bit more sort of expansive, talk about good news a bit more as well, which I think is always important, and diversify really on our offering, really, and rather than being fully focused on sort of the digital, the COVID, the right stuff, because I think Indy's got a lot of that buttoned down. It's now really sort of trying to expand our offering and make us a little bit lighter, as well as being all about the truth still. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's important to get good information out there to people, good education, as much as education about the news, education about life, other things going on, you know, stuff like that, I think is important, which links back to what you said right at the top of the show, in being what we are and what we do. You know, Twitter can be a heavy place, you know, because of all of the people I follow, it's like war in Ukraine, it's economics for this country, there's like the protests happening here, it's Trudeau bad, it's, you know, Biden stupid, all the, and it's just constant. So it really can sort of really affect your mental health if you spend too much time pondering everything that's wrong. So we want to couple all of that with a little bit of, hey, look, you know, look at the light side as well. Balance, very much yin and yang.
Because I'm feeling, I half joke about this, but I definitely am. I've been immersed, and I mean up above my eyes in all this since January, since I started doing this. I dabbled in it last year on my own, but now literally it's my bread and butter. And not because I feel like I have to, but I just feel like you need to be aware of everything that's going on so you can at least hold a conversation down about economics, about geopolitics, about mental health, about whatever. So you have to be a little bit of a jack of all trades, but the focus does tend to weigh on the negative and the destructive. And I'm finding a bit of relief at the moment. I've been doing a few podcasts with people recently on off-topic stuff. And for me, that's a real, how would you say, a little bit of escapism and a little bit of a breath of fresh air, not to be constantly covering the doom and gloom, because that's what's out there. And I'm hoping, you know, you and I someday will talk on the show. You know, I've tried it in the past and I'll do it. Talk about music, talk about movies, a little bit of joking, a little bit of black humor in there, here and there, you know, propping up some people and giving shouts out to other people. Karen Hunt, I think, is another one, by the way. I think she's doing some writing. Karen is an absolute diamond of a woman. She gets up at 2 a.m. in L.A. To come on the show here. And I've tried to say, look, don't, it's too late. She's 100% committed. She's really experienced. She's a great writer. She's a great orator. I think she does some, she's been had some articles published for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Hinchcliffe as well at the sociable. I mean, massive shout out to him. He's fantastic.
Yeah, and
obviously the guys at Stop Common Pass. I mean, we've got a good little sort of bunch of people that are all on a sort of similar page. And then with all of our extremities and stuff, we've got good reach, really.
Yes.
But yeah, it can be relentless. And it is very important to you, to me, to everyone listening to this as well, that you manage that. And that you do take time to see the wood for the trees, because otherwise it can be a really depressive place.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of falling into that trap myself. Like I said, I feel like I'm becoming slightly more and more unhinged, literally, as time is passing, but just a little bit. And it's like, I'm like, am I losing it? And I kind of am, but listen, I'm a human being. I can't help but have care and concern for my fellow man. I don't like the direction the world is going. I want to see these people dealt with. I want to see justice. And I think maybe what it is, Toby, is frustration. I get very frustrated when I see injustice and I see things happening that shouldn't be happening. And I'm to a degree powerless to overthrow it, but I'm doing the best I can through this medium, as are you in the medium that you use through Truth Talk, as is Sikh in his endeavors, as is Tim Hinchcliffe, as is David Nolan. So it's good to have that connectivity and that networking, and it's good to have a place you can sort of lay it all out there like you can here or like you could on Truth Talk without any fear of censorship. Just on the subject, as we sort of wrap this up, because this is a current issue and it is to do with the UK, Leicester is really becoming quite a volatile place at the minute. Sikh pointed out that it is a multicultural place anyway, about 16-20% Hindus, around about 16-20% Muslims, 35%, you know, white Christians or whatever, the rest another. So you have a bit of a mixture, a mixed bag in there of the demographic, but there seems to be an escalation going on at the minute that the police don't seem to be cracking down particularly hard on. If you put a poster in your window or you went to the Queen's funeral with abolish the monarchy, they would jump on you, cuff you, chuck you in the back of the meat wagon and cart you off. Seems to be you can walk the streets now baying for blood. And there's no consequences for that, except to say, step back, please, back off, please. That's the police approach. That are they gonna have to come in heavy on this to quell it, or do you think it's gonna peter out?
I wouldn't like to comment too much on it. I mean, it's more Indy's area of expertise, but I mean, one of the things I have noticed have been the, like you say, the lack of heavy-handedness, and comparatively with how we were dealt with in London, just protesting against lockdown. I mean, we were non-violent, you know, we were peaceful, there was women, there was kids, there was every type of people, and we were treated a lot worse than people who are actively out threatening violence on the street, running around in as gangs, basically, and it's not being dispersed, it's not being as hammered down. Now, you could make the argument that half of the UK's police forces had to send half of their forces down to London for this funeral and, you know, staff stretched. Well, that's all done now. So it'll be interesting to see over the coming sort of few days, week, how that's now handled and if any differently, because it is, I think it's a lot worse kind of protest than the ones we did. And it's the differentiation in policing is just ridiculous.
Isn't it? And you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's give them the cops the benefit of the doubt. They're stretched. They were dealing with a funeral, but that's over now. The one thing that I've noticed is they were quick to disperse to dispatch water cannon trucks and riot police with full riot gear on and the truncheons drawn and the rubber bullet guns to the London protests. But they seem to be just standard cops in high-vis jackets, you know, and nothing else really, standing in between two groups of people that are potentially baying for each other's blood. That's a fact. You know, there's going to be trouble there. It doesn't take a genius to work that one out. But it seems to be they've dispatched the wrong type of police to disperse that, because they're not going to listen to some guy in a high-vis jacket or some girl in a high-vis jacket. there's only one language that they'll be able to understand, and that's, you know, forceful dispersion. If they won't go peacefully, you have to rack it up a gear. But it doesn't seem to apply in their case. If you were protesting the monarchy, or you were protesting against the lockdowns or whatever, then yes, send out the riot squad. But for this situation in Leicester, from what I've seen, they seem to be going softly, and I think that could ultimately be, people will suffer because of that on the ground, as in those that are involved in those communities are going to pay the price for the namby-pamby policing strategies that are ongoing there. And it's all about political correctness. You know, they're afraid to offend groups and this, that, and the other, but, you know, they're going to reap what they sow, I think.
I agree with you. And again, you look at the Hegelian dialect, you know, is this by design? Do they want it to kick off so they can kick in further restrictions, further repression? Because you let something go far enough, people are going to call for the army on the street. You know, stuff's getting splashed up, burned and looted. Look at what happened in Washington. And they fenced and bricked around the Capitol and the White House and keep people away now. You know, and so you could see this as a similar situation. Are they intentionally letting the embers burn, and are they even, in fact, blowing some air on it?
That's a good point. And remember, when these things get brought in, they don't get reversed. So it'll be like, okay, this is now a state of emergency, and for your protection, we're going to put soldiers on the streets. They love a state of emergency. They love the fear. And of course, they love the control, which they do not want to relinquish. Toby, we are out of time. Where on earth did that R go? It's been an absolute blast talking to you. We've had some laughs. We might even shed a few tears later on as we reminisce on our time together on air. But massive respect to you. And I really appreciate you taking time out to speak to me. That's Mr. Cheers, Toby mate. Brown from truthtalk.uk, at truthtalkuk on Twitter. Follow him there. Support him there. The one.